Hey guys, welcome to the new campfire session of the Interviews with the Haunting Masters, where we will be sharing those stories that have shaped us into the haunters that we are today. As an extra added bonus, once a month, I will be inviting one of you subscribers on the show to share your stories with us. Please let me know if you like this new addition to the podcast by leaving a comment on Podbean or a review on iTunes. Thank you. Now let's roll into the next episode.
Hi, and welcome to the Interviews with the Haunting Masters campfire session. I'm back on with Brandon Walker of Avid Haunting. And we're just going to, you know, shoot the shit a little bit about some of his hunting adventures and, you know, see what we can take from that. How's it going?
Good. Glad to be here.
Basically, I asked the same thing of all the people that are on for a campfire. And I ask you to share, you know, one story with us that had like a, maybe like a aha moment, something that had like a teaching point or maybe changed the way that you hunt today. And then maybe if we have time, you share another story with us that was your most memorable hunt, like one of your most outrageous, crazy hunts that, you know, it's just going to stick with you for life. So if you could just go ahead and share with us a story that you think that maybe has a really good teaching point, maybe people could take something from.
Well, I think the one I was thinking about, it was 2 years ago, and it was just our general season archery hunt here. And, you know, I had done all my scouting and whatnot, and it was the third day. So it would have been, our hunt starts on a Saturday. It would have been the Monday. That Monday morning, we had spooked one of the bucks that I had been chasing, spooked him out of the canyon and into a kind of across and into another canyon. And so that night, we didn't know what to do. We kind of decided, well, maybe we'll just go over there and glass and see if we can see him. So sure enough, go over there, glass, we spot him. Long story short, I ended up getting in close, or semi-close, actually real close. He actually came, he came right to me where he was feeding. And it happened so fast, I ended up shooting him, and it was like 15 yards, and I hit him really bad. It was really high above above the spine. Arrow went straight through him and out the other side. And I knew the instant that I hit him that it was a bad shot. And so I just, you know, my heart sank. I was just, you know, beyond myself. Anyway, I watched exactly where he went. I thought I saw him go bed down. I was out till 1 o'clock that night. You know, we gave him some time, but I was out till 1 o'clock looking for him or looking for blood, see what happened. Couldn't find him. Went back in the morning and started looking, same thing, picked up the blood trail. The blood was so minute that, you know, we just couldn't follow it. And just kept looking around and spent, and I think it was around noon that I had just hiked up every single thing looking for him. And pretty soon the idea just clicked to me. I'm like, you know, I wonder if he went back, you know, to where I originally seen him. You know, because I had done my scouting and I had always seen him. He kind of did this same little pattern in this one canyon, and we had spooked him out of that canyon originally that day. And I thought, well, maybe he went back. I don't know. You know, sure enough, put up my spotting scope or hiked to the top of this hill, put up my spotting scope, and there he was sitting underneath a bush with this other buck. And I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh, God, we spooked him out of there. Why did he go back? You know? And that was at that time, I just realized that, you know, deer, I don't know, some of them will they'll go where they feel comfortable or what they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand other ones, you spook them out of an area, you'll never see them again. But, you know, for some reason, you know, check if you've done your research and if you've seen them there before, keep checking there, because sometimes they, you know, they'll go back or they'll continue with those patterns, whether they've been spooked out of there or not. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, went back over there, snuck up to him, and I shot him, and that was the end of it. But it was just a good teaching moment for me, mm-hmm. anyway, to, you know, always be persistent, I guess, and
yeah,
and keep after it. So
I think a lot of that has to do, it's very area specific. I think the ones that like, I think if they blow, the ones that like blow out of a canyon or whatever and never come back are ones that have never seen humans before.
Yeah.
Because, but, and that could be, I mean, there's an exception to every rule, but.
Exactly.
But I feel like if they've been bumped before by hikers or whatever, it's just something that, you know, that happens. They'll go to a little sanctuary for a little bit, but then they come back. They're in that area for a reason.
Yep. They feel comfortable.
There's food there. There's water there. There's good bedding cover. There's escape routes, whatever that is. And, or maybe it has all those things, which really makes them want to come back. Yeah. And I, you know, there's been many times, well, Utah, for instance. So last year, I must have put 12 different stalks in the same bowl on deer.
Yeah. On the same deer or just the same?
The same deer like 3-4 times, you know?
Okay.
But the same deer, I mean, there were several groups of deer that I kept seeing, you know? And the one I took a shot, it was like the second morning. I had a 50-yard shot. He was facing straight on at me, and it was super windy, and I came over the top of this ridge, and I got the full draw, and I just never settled my pin. I was just kind of like wavering back and forth like this. I don't know what the frick I was thinking, to be honest with you. And I almost got him. I literally shaved his hair off, you know?
Yeah.
But had it been a broadside shot, he would have been dead.
Yeah.
Because I literally missed like, you know, like 4 or 5 inches you know, for where I was aiming, it skimmed his shoulder.
Got it.
Anyhow, I actually stalked that buck twice in the same bowl. I mean, I shot at him, getting my hair cut, and he still, it wasn't exactly
stayed
the
there.
Same spot, but he was in the same basin. He was in the same bowl. And, I agree. I think it takes a lot to really get them completely out of the country.
Yeah.
You know, they might go over one ridge and drop down into the next, and then especially mule deer.
Yeah. Because
I think mule deer have a much shorter term memory than like, let's say a whitetail.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree on that.
Like, see, like now if you're talking about whitetail and you go back east or you Midwest or whatever, and you booger up a deer, that's, he's not going to be coming past that tree stand ever again.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10. Yeah. Again, exceptions to every rule, but.
Yep.
Or he's going to be looking up in that tree every time he comes down there. But, you know, it's just. But I think mule deer tend to kind of like, you know, hey, they're out of sight. They calm down. It's time to get back to whatever the agenda is, whatever mule deer doing mule deer things.
Yep.
And so
amen.
But no, I think people should take that, you know, take that and keep that in the mental Rolodex to remember, you know, hey, just because you booger that deer up doesn't mean he may be back in that same health. Henry was just telling me that the buck that he was, I don't remember if it was Henry or I also had Patrick Montgomery on yesterday. I want to say one of the two of them told me that a deer that they missed or that they spooked out went and bedded literally in the same bed that they, and he stalked him in the same spot and ended up killing him the second time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. So tell me about your most outrageous hunt.
My most outrageous hunt. Yeah, I don't know on that, because that was kind of my most outrageous. But one that I, let's see. I don't know. I've kind of got a few, I guess. Four years ago, I drew a bull tag in Utah, and it was a muzzleloader bull tag. And, you know, same thing, went up, did my scouting, didn't find anything I was really excited or about. One bull that I did find, he was in this particular unit, it's known for having big 5 points, which I kind of like, because they, you know, they've got big whale tails, you know, so it's kind of cool in its own way. Anyway, so and this bull had it, but he wasn't exactly what I was looking for. Anyway, long story short, had a heck of a hunt, super fun, but couldn't find the bull that I was after, and went back to the original spot, and there this bull was that I had spotted the week before, big 5 point in the same exact spot. And my whole family had shown up the night before. I had my kids, I had my sisters, my brother, and my friends. Everybody was there, so I decided to shoot him. It was absolutely pouring rain, and it was muddy, miserable conditions. But it wasn't outrageous, but it was perfect, because I had everybody there, and that meant more to me than, you know, than shooting the biggest bull there was or anything. It's right, just, we all got to experience it and be there. And so that was fun.
They could pack it out for you.
Yeah, exactly. And it just happened to be honest with you, it was probably 100 yards off of a road.
Oh, so that's awesome.
It was easy, pleasy. Besides the rain, I mean, you know, yeah, I didn't have to hike over, you know, tons of canyons and all that jazz. You know, it's just right off the road. It was perfect, and everybody was there to see it. So
nice. Nice. But yeah, I honestly, except for one elk that I've shot, all my elk have died within a few hundred yards of a road.
Have they really?
I've gotten so, I've like, knock on wood, gotten so lucky so many times. I mean, I've been plenty of times where I wasn't the hunter, unfortunately, which makes it even worse, because it's not even your bull.
yeah, you got to do all
where I've had to pack him out of a shitty ass canyon. Yeah. Man. But I've been really lucky. It's crazy. This last one I shot in November. Had he died where I shot him, it would have been a shitty pack out.
Yeah.
But he ran for like 400 yards downhill down to a freaking road. I mean, he died.
Oh, that's perfect.
He died like 200 yards from a road. I was like, nice.
Yeah.
I hit him a little high, so it took him a while to die.
Got it.
Yeah. But it is what it is. It worked out.
Good deal. Good deal. Cool. Yep.
Well, awesome.
Okay.
Well, thank you for coming back on and sharing your stories with us.
Yeah, anytime. Anytime. So.
Cool, man. Well, I'll talk with you soon.
Okay. Thank you, John. Sure appreciate it.
Bye.